Welcome to the Living Waters Church Podcast.
Well, over the next three Sundays, we're going to begin an exploration, really, of Living Waters' story. And of course, through all of this, Jesus is at the very center. We're going to be talking about who we are. We're going to be talking about what we value. What are the dimensions of our community's character, and where by God's grace we're heading. We're going to talk a little bit about vision. So while we hope this will be particularly helpful for those who are new here to Living Waters, we also see these three Sundays coming up as an important refresher, kind of an encouragement for all of us who would call this house home. The word communion, which is the title of our series, it rightfully evokes images of the bread and the wine, the elements of the sacrament, the powerful reminders of what Christ did on the cross for us. But the context for this series, while found in the metaphor of a shared meal for sure, is broader and will speak strongly to the deep connection and relationship that occurs when we gather together around the gospel of Jesus Christ, when we love one another as Jesus has taught us to. The communion of people is perhaps one of the strongest images that we have of family, sharing the common bond of Christ's love and allowing that relationship and the relationship that we have for one another to define really who we are. So to help us move through this series, we're going to look at our communion in this way, being together from three approaches. First, before the meal, and then during the meal, and then after the meal. And exploring each one of those approaches, we hope to present a clear picture, a character of this community and what we value the most. Before the meal, which is where we're going to land today, really speaks of invitation and welcome. And during the meal, which Luke will cover next week, speaks of togetherness and nourishment. And after the meal, on our third Sunday, we're going to be considering together our purpose and our vision forward. We're going to talk about generosity and sharing the gospel with others. And you're going to find that throughout our conversation over the next 3 weeks, that our seven core values of community and authenticity, spiritual formation, generosity, worship, recognizing and releasing, and the Great Commission are going to be weaved all the way through it all. You know, as we talk about before the meal, invitation and welcome, it's important to note that by our very nature as Christians, we are to be, you and I, a people of invitation and a people of welcome. The meal that Jesus has invited us to has always, always meant to be shared. Jesus himself was an inviter. He said in the Gospel of John, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." And later in the same letter, John 6, verse 51, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." An amazing invitation to an amazing meal. One of my favorite examples of invitations is in the exchange between Zacchaeus and Jesus. That's found in Luke chapter 19, beginning at verse 5. "When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and he called him by name. 'Zacchaeus,' he said, 'quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today.' Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and he took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. 'He has gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner,' they grumbled." It's interesting because this is kind of a reverse type of invitation. Jesus invites relationship with Zacchaeus, but he also kind of invites himself over to the man's home. I love that. But really, it doesn't matter how it worked out. It's all about invitation. And listen, this is really an important learning point for us. Many who knew Zacchaeus saw him as being beyond redemption. You know, a notorious mess of a man who had no hope at all. And in this incredible revelation of the gospel of love and grace, the invitation of Zacchaeus through Jesus still stands, no matter what other people had to say, no matter how they protest. And as this account later reveals, Zacchaeus finds life transformation at the table. It's good news for us. It's good news for everybody. Jesus was all about invitation. He forced no one to accept it. That was not his way. He offered relationship and redemption freely to all who would hear and embrace his welcoming message. Through the parable of the great feast in Luke 14, Jesus illustrated the kingdom principles of invitation. Now remember that the master of the household there had invited a whole bunch of people to the feast. And those that he invited initially, they chose to ignore his invitation. And the result was is that the master rejected them. But the story doesn't end there. The master of the house then chooses to open the invitation wide to all those who would come. When he says to his servants, go quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and invite the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Then it says, after the servant had done this, he reported, there is still room for more. So his master said, go out into the country lanes and behind the hedges and urge anyone you find to come so that the house will be full. It's a powerful illustration of the kingdom nature of invitation. Not all will come, but many will answer. But many will answer enough to fill the house. And over its long history here in Fort Langley, the community of Living Waters has been built on invitation. The roots of this church, they go back almost 75 years. And even before that little church in the front in the street on Glover there was built, even before then, there had been invitation to a daily vacation Bible school during the summer. It's a bit of a picture of the church. You can see it on the left side. It looks a little different today, but that is the building. The original church, which of course is adjacent to this building, it was built around 1946, actually, and it was incorporated as Emmanuel Pentecostal Tabernacle in 1965. That's quite a handle, really. And so that bus that we just saw, it used to drive around the Fort Langley area, including Glen Valley, and it'd be picking up families for church, and some of those families are right there. Very cool. Because the invitation was extended and it was accepted, there was real life from that little church. In 1988, the church changed its name to Living Waters Assembly, and over the years, you know, the church had some great times, but it also had some very difficult times. In fact, on two different occasions, those difficult seasons were so significant that the church almost was forced to close its doors permanently. And even the most recent example of that was about 15 years ago. The church had gone through a hard time. And the district office, which is our denominational overseer, they had determined that the church should be closed. It should just be closed. But the Lord had another idea. The Lord had another idea, and he placed a way forward into the hearts of Ken and Eunice Gilardi. The Holy Spirit drew Ken and Eunice to ask if they could kind of take a last stab at keeping the church open somehow. They just knew that it shouldn't be closed. They were convincing enough that the district agreed, and so Ken and Eunice, knowing that somehow God had something more for Living Waters, they began to pastor those who remained in the church. And this, I'll tell you what, this is a miracle. This, to me, is a picture of incredible faith. Because not long after their arrival at that little broken church, God planted a seed in their hearts that was really a seed of invitation. God told them that they were to build actually a bigger church and make room for more. Now, that made no sense. that made no sense at all in the natural. But Ken and Eunice knew the voice of the Lord, and they stepped out in faith along with about another 12 or 14 people, and they decided to build the church, this one that we sit in today. That's faith. That's all about God's plan for Invitation. So the building process began in about 2000. Look at that. That's where we're sitting right now. And the new church was completed in 2004. Ken and Eunice continued to pastor the church until about 2005. And they knew that their work here had been completed, which was to build the physical part of the church. And they accepted a call to work with their son on the island. And in the meantime, in all of this, even years before, Linda and I had our hearts set on this church in the oddest of ways. We used to drive by. I was executive pastor at CLA, and Linda was working in administration there. And at that time, the church was large. There was well over 2,000, probably closer to 3,000 people attending. And we would drive by that church. It was painted yellow and white at the time when we'd drive by. And I would say to Linda, I would love to pastor that little church. Wouldn't it be awesome just to meet with 40 or 50 or 60 people sort of on a regular weekly basis and just kind of get to know them and to love on them, and you know? And so we used to come there in our summer vacations, and we would enjoy the country music worship. It was awesome, and we would, it was so cool. And at one point I got to do a wedding there. I loved it. I just loved it. After Ken and Eunice Sclarity left Living Waters to go over to the island, the seed that God planted in our hearts for Living Waters grew to this full-blown call to be here. And so Linda and I came on board the team in March of 2006. Darcy and Leanne McAllister were a part of our leadership team. Jennifer Burmeister, who continues to attend, was serving part-time in children's ministry. Brett Donald, who now pastors our very first church plant in Burnaby, he was a part-time youth pastor, and young Luke Knight served as an intern here. I was going to show this picture, Luke, but I decided not to because you were such a kid. You really were. If there was one thing that seemed clear to us, right from the very beginning, it was that God intended to grow his church. God intended to grow his church. And in fact, in the months before our arrival here, there was just this incredible sense of faith and authentic, vibrant community that was just placed in our hearts, that God would make that happen. And in fact, he gave me a very clear picture, which I've written out in my journal. I've shared it here before. And God showed me this house, and it was packed full of people. And there was such joy, and there was such community, and there was incredible authenticity, and God was moving powerfully. It was an amazing picture. And so we knew that if we were faithful to invite, and if we were authentic in our welcome, that God would build his church. We just knew it. We just knew it. Many prayer walks around Fort Lang. We just knew it. There were about 60 people who were regularly attending when we started to share the core values, those biblical principles that would overlay everything that we do and continue to do today. Values of community, authenticity, generosity, spiritual formation, worship, recognizing and releasing, reaching out to the Great Commission, all powerful values for us that we would center our way forward on. And soon afterwards, through faith, through invitation, and through welcome, God just miraculously began to grow his church. It was an amazing thing to see. And in less than a year, we had moved to two services to make room for all that God would bring. And today, here we are some 10 years later, and we see his faithfulness all the way around us. He's been working to build our community and our faith. And today, between our two campuses, we would be very close to 1,000 people. All to the glory of God. Invitation and welcome. Of course, invitation and welcome, they continue to be a part of our DNA today. And you know, this is more than just a friendly handshake and a good cup of Republica coffee. Our hope is that we capture the very heart of Jesus, who would say, all are welcome here. All are invited to participate in this great kingdom meal, no matter who you are. See, Jesus excluded no one from invitation. Scripture makes it clear that he wants everyone to be saved, everyone to understand the truth. And as we've seen it, he connected with people that others had given up for lost. People that others considered to be too messed up, too far from God. I believe Jesus would say that no one is so far from God that they would be disqualified from invitation and welcome and the opportunity for life change. And we have a sign over our door. You go under it every time you come here that says, you are welcome. You're welcome. And it's meant to serve as a clear invitation. And there is no qualifier, with the exception of our responsibility, of course, to keep people safe. The welcome to this house extends to believers and investigating unbelievers. The welcome to this house extends to those who are faith-filled and those who are skeptics, the hurt and the broken, the poor and the wealthy, the marginalized and those who think the world has them at the top of their game. Welcome to this house extends to those who are far from God and those who absolutely know his embrace. The invitation to this house extends to those who are in sin and those who are not. The invitation to this house is extended to all who genuinely seek truth and life. And if that doesn't make us messy, I don't know what will. And to make us even a little more messy, once we're at the table, we overlay our value of authenticity. Luke is going to talk more about that next week, but our desire is that all would come as we are. We would just come as we are, with no pretense, no need to cover up. That in this house we would found to be a safe place, a place in which we can recover, a place in which we can rejuvenate, be restored, be redeemed by the power of Jesus Christ. Our journeys will look different. Our backgrounds may be strikingly dissimilar. Our pace may be misaligned. The timing of our transformation will vary. But it doesn't matter. All are welcome here. All are welcome here. Authenticity is where invitation and welcome find their deepest value. Jesus would invite all. He would love, and he would give hope through relationship and life change. In the practice of community here, in the practice of communion here, we do the best we can to follow his great example. Now, in extending our invitation and its welcome, it's important that we are clear about who we are. That's very important. Where we come from and what we believe. And so for the record, for those of you who may be new to our house, we are a Pentecostal church. We hold to an orthodox biblical view, which means we fit into the mainstream of historical Christianity. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe in the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We believe that the gifts are very much with us and in operation today. We do our best to teach the Bible, to live by it, and to encourage others to do the same. You can find a full statement of what we believe on our website, and if you are new to us, I encourage you to find it and read it. And you know, one of the beautiful and the rich things about who we are as a community is that we're absolutely eclectic. We are so different. We come from a variety of Christian backgrounds and non-Christian backgrounds. I want you to know that all are welcome here. All are welcome here. In other words, do you have to be a Pentecostal to attend Living Waters Church? No, you don't. We will certainly teach from that stream and experience because it is our own, but we understand that there are many streams that are represented here, many Christian streams, and we will learn from one another. I say it often, and I'll say it again, we will major on the theological majors. There's lots of room for us and lots of opportunity to talk about the minors, and we'll have that opportunity to do that. The one thing that we do not welcome here is division. We have no interest in church politics. We have no interest in power plays. We encourage questions and dialogue, of course, along the way. Absolutely. Both are always welcomed and they are encouraged. But a divisive spirit is not welcome in this house. It would seem to me that the Bible says a lot about unity, and it is important for us here. And in the spirit of authenticity, while we extend invitation, we should also tell you that none on our team, beginning with me, would suggest that we live perfect lives. If you're looking for pastors who walk in perfection, then this is not the place for you. Now, we understand the nature of our call. Absolutely. We understand the responsibility to live well before the Lord. Absolutely. But friends, perfect, we're not. Perfect, we're not. And to be honest, it is likely that at some point along the way, we're going to disappoint somebody. It's just going to happen. But we simply commit here as a team that serves this house to love Jesus as best we can, to walk in his example. Those responding to invitation here and welcome here, we'll soon discover that we're not pastor-centric. And what I mean by that is that we serve as a team here. And as my role is lead here, that's one thing, and I take that very seriously. But what we do is we work together. And the work here is neither about me, nor will you just hear my voice teaching or leading. We work collaboratively here, and we support one another here on this team. And that's one of the reasons that we have a speaking team here. There are four of us on the team, and we rotate through all of the Sundays of the year. I think there's great value in hearing the voice of others who are gifted and called to teach. And we are egalitarian, meaning both men and women are welcome to lead and to teach here. Important part of who. And while our team is made up of pastors who care deeply for this community, we recognize that caring for such a beautiful and a growing church, that is a shared responsibility for all of us. All of us who call this place home, just like we would do in a family. All of us called. All of us gifted. All of us released to love. That's communion. You know, over the last while, you've heard us talking about Living Waters being a community garden and not a supermarket. It's such a great illustration. And what that means is we don't just show up for a meal, eat, and run. That's not who we are. In a community garden, we take an active interest in our family, and we serve one another in love. Yeah, we're individuals, and we're different, and all of that. But the very head of the house, Jesus, has called us together as a family for a time such as this. We are made, you and I, to live life together. That's how we are constructed. Paul puts it this way: so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things. Luke's going to talk a little bit more about this next week, but we are at our best when we're at the table together, when we're doing the things that God has gifted us for. It's what makes our community vibrant, healthy, and a place to be, and a place to grow in faith when we do it together. An invitation to that kind of family, an invitation to belong, an invitation to hope, and to be cared for. That kind of invitation is absolutely desired and necessary in our culture today. And this is the point, and we're going to finish with this. It is you and I who are the heartbeat of invitation. When we function well as disciples of Jesus, his life in us draws others to discover life in him. When we love as Jesus loved, the welcome that follows is practiced naturally and extravagantly. Not a people that hold back. These are the very things that Jesus has called us to, because they introduce transforming life in him to all who would come to the table. We are the invitation, and we are the welcome. Would you stand with me, everybody? I'd like to pray before we leave today. Remember, next week, Luke is going to be talking on togetherness and nourishment at the table. Father, we're thankful for your church. We're thankful for how you move amongst us. We are thankful today, Lord, for the growth of this community. You have given us life and love for one another. And our heart today, Lord, is to be absolutely a people of welcome and a people of invitation. God, around us, there are so many who are without you that need you desperately. There are so many who are disenfranchised and lost. So many, O Lord, that have taken paths that are not right before you. So many people who just need to be called to the light. Father, we want to be a part of that. To be inviters and encouragers. Embracers of the love of Jesus. Help us to do that, Lord. Help us to be inviters and welcomers. We give you thanks, Lord, for this great day, for your goodness and for each other, for communion together. In your name we pray, and his people said, amen, amen. Hey, God bless you, everybody. Have a great Sunday. Remember, if you have any questions at all, we'd be more than happy to talk with you. God bless you.